Hello and welcome to the Starting and Operating a Successful Permaculture Nursery Summit brought to you by the Permaculture Institute of North America, or PINA. If you support permaculture across the North American continent, then please consider becoming a PINA member today at pina.in. Today's summit is brought to you by PINA members and for PINA members and the greater permaculture community. I'm Jesse, and I will be your host for today's summit. Our next presenter is the prodigious Greg Peterson, presenting on the topic of starting fruit tree nursery. From bare root to citrus. Greg Peterson, founder of The Urban Farm, is a visionary urban farming educator dedicated to transforming food systems through regenerative practices. He pioneered Phoenix, Arizona's first environmental showcase home, demonstrating how to grow food sustainably in an urban desert. With decades of experience, Greg has empowered thousands to cultivate their own food, adapting techniques to challenging climates. In 1999, he launched the Urban Farm Fruit Tree Education Program to address the lack of climate-appropriate fruit trees in nurseries, growing it into a large-scale initiative that distributes over 5,000 trees annually while providing free education. Now based in North Carolina, he continues to inspire and support growers nationwide. Excuse me. Welcome, Greg. Great to have you.
Thank you. I'd love to be here. Love that I'm here. I guess that's what I'm saying. It's still early here. We actually do about 4,000 trees a year, not five, but
okay.
Still,
it's a lot, and it's something that most of us maybe don't do, but would be inspired to try to do in our own hometown. So it's great that we're going to be talking about that program specifically. But before we get started, Greg, I'm asking everybody the same two questions just because I think it's interesting. Answers usually come from these to start with. And the first one is, what impact has permaculture had on your life and or livelihood?
Oh my God.
Keep it short now.
Exactly. So in 1991, a flyer showed up in the mailbox. To this day, I have no idea where the flyer came from or how they knew about me. It was for a permaculture design course. At that time, I was 30 years old. In 1981, when I was 20, I designed a regenerative fish farm on paper. And when I signed up for that permaculture design course, I had a sore forehead because it was like, dang, there's something I can call it the way that I think. So in big part, it validated that the way that I thought back then and the way that I still think today is reality. There's stuff there. So
And then what about the nursery business? Like, if I'm always trying to think from the PINA perspective of like somebody who just took their PDC or just got really excited by permaculture, and they're like, there's all these things I could do and focus on. Why would you say the nursery business might be something worth turning into a business or pursuing more seriously?
Well, first of all, it's self-replicating in so many ways. You know, as our last speaker spoke to, plus it's fun. You know, you're going to hear about my nursery and the pop-up nursery. We do a team meeting at the beginning of every day when we're open, and we have three rules. Rule number one is be safe. Rule number two is have fun. And rule number three is don't steal Janice's purple pen. So as you can tell, we have fun with it.
And well, having fun should be the key to a lot of these type of permaculture endeavors. For me and my permaculture partner around here, Milton, we have, that's our baseline. We're like, we want to do any event we want to do. It has to at least satisfy us. If more people come and they're having a good time, then yay. But we want to just be able to have fun and be moving our conversations forward. So I love that. I think that's great. And I would never think to steal Janice's purple pen. I mean, come on, people. What are you thinking? Well, Greg,
I always do. So,
you can.
There you go.
Without further ado, Greg, maybe you can take us into your presentation. And people, if you have any questions, leave them in the chat in all caps so we can capture them later. And at the end, we'll ask Greg if any questions you have. So thanks again, Greg, for being here. Looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Can you all see my screen?
Yep, looks good.
All right, farm out. So, starting a bare root fruit tree nursery. So, I started this on accident in 1999, and you're going to hear that story here in a minute. And in 2022, I actually picked up my life. I had lived in Phoenix, Arizona for 54 years. I picked up my life and moved to Asheville, North Carolina. And we bought 4 acres just outside of Asheville. And to see how much of our own food we could grow, and we were looking for a quiet space. And one of the interesting things is that there are at least two, maybe three, bare root nursery programs here in Asheville, North Carolina, of 100,000 people. And my bare root nursery program in Phoenix, I thought I was unusual. I thought it was because I'd never seen one before. And so this is magic. It can happen. And it's easy to do. And it's like running a part-time nursery. And I ran a full-time nursery for a couple of years in 2011, 12, and 13. It's a lot of work. Got to show up every day. It's kind of like running a restaurant, and I'm too much of a lazy gardener to go there. So starting a bare root nursery from education and marketing to tree distribution. You can find out about our entire program at fruittrees.org and listen to my podcast at urbanfarmpodcast.com. All right, 1975. This is me. I plant my first fruit trees. And the reason I love to grow fruit trees is because they're perennial. You plant them once and they make fruit for years, decades, or even 100 years. I had two citrus trees in my backyard in Phoenix, Arizona, that were planted in the 1920s. They still make fruit every year, which is amazing, at over 100 years old, which is, it's pretty dang cool. All right. Around the same time I did my permaculture design course, I participated in a program called the Forum at Landmark Education. And they're all about building big visions for your life. So in 1999, I decided I was going to plant 500 fruit trees in Phoenix, Arizona. I found a place where I could buy them wholesale and planted, I think there's like 10 or 12 in this picture. And here they are a few years later. But more importantly, a few years later, I was actually starting to do education. What I did in 1999 is I found a place that would sell me fruit trees wholesale. And I planted 50 of them in a friend of mine's backyard. I potted up the rest, and people started asking me, well, can I buy them from you? So this whole program magically happened again on accident. Or did it? Here's a few things, a couple of things that I found when I started looking at doing this fruit tree program. You can go into every big box store and most local nurseries in Phoenix, and I found this to be the case here in Asheville as well, and they will sell you a fruit tree that will never make fruit. It's either not climate appropriate or season appropriate kind of a tree. So, as the last speaker mentioned, you can buy a tree because you like the red delicious apple, but guess what? It doesn't grow in Phoenix. So that's a problem. The other thing I found is that there were no local nurseries that were interested in working with me on a bulk basis. So from this, I did a little bit of research and founded the Urban Farm Fruit Tree Program. The thing is, back then, their minimum order was 100 trees. So I had to come up with the money in 1999 to bring in 100 fruit trees. And I did that. And it's turned into 4,000 a year, which is pretty cool. All right, here's how the fruit tree program works. We are not a full-time nursery. We are first and foremost education. And then people pre-order their fruit trees. Then 2 times a year, we do a pop-up nursery. A pop-up nursery is we're open usually 2 weekends at the end of September for citrus and 3 to 4 weekends at the end of January, early February for deciduous trees. And then we do pop-up nurseries for supplies. So in March and in May, we'll do a day-long pop-up nursery for people to get fertilizers, mulches, compost, that kind of stuff from us. And so that's how I get away with only opening about 20 days a year. It makes life super easy. And it afforded me the opportunity to move to Asheville, North Carolina. So, what we supply? We supply trees and plant materials. These are climate appropriate, which I'm going to talk about in a minute. Organic fertilizers, soil supplements, and lots of education and help. When people come on our lot, this is a picture of what the lot looks like before we open. When people come on the lot, I'm the entertainment. I'm the educator and entertainment when people walk on our 3,000 square foot fruit tree lot. And I tell them, this is my full-time job. If you have any questions, please snap a picture and email it to me. We help people that much. Here's our fruit tree program basics, and I'm going to go into these more in depth. Education all year round. Program launch and trajectory. I'm going to kind of explain how we do that, and then delivery of fruit trees at the pop-up nurseries. Education. We do a monthly tree care chat. It's a live on Zoom, just like this, and it's open to everybody, primarily people in the low desert, because our topics are low desert centric. However, I've learned that the same things that we do for fruit trees in the desert in the summer, we do for fruit trees in the winter here in Asheville, North Carolina. So a lot of it applies. And we bring in often a special guest. This happened to be Ray on this chat. And we talk about your fruit tree challenges. The other thing we've done is we have put together a master course in growing fruit trees. And I used to say a master course in growing fruit trees in the desert. However, again, what I've learned moving to Asheville is that everything that we do in the desert applies here. So we have a free master course. Yes, I said free master course on growing fruit trees and doing it successfully. And you're going to hear more about the free part here in a little while. And I'll give you the link to sign up if you're interested. All right. This is our program by the season. Our season for ordering fruit trees starts on June 1st. In other words, we've placed our pre-orders for fruit trees and we stock our shopping cart, and people pre-order fruit trees starting June 1st. And we usually get maybe 10% of our orders in from June 1st to August 30th. Now, these are trees that people are buying that if they're citrus, they're not picking up until end of September. And if they're deciduous, they're not picking up until 6 months later in January. So this is a long window. And then our September 1st to October 31st window is our early bird season. That's where people get their best pricing on fruit trees. And this is education intense. Our holiday season is November 1st through December 31st. And then our on-lot season is January 1st to February 10th. And the on-lot season, the first 2 weeks of January is us prepping the trees. And then the last 2 weeks, and usually the first week of February, is people coming on weekends. We usually open on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And people come and get their trees. All right, our launch trajectory for education. On the first Saturday of September, we offer a 3-hour online launch event in Zoom. Prior to 2020, we did them in person. I used to rent a 10,000 square foot fellowship hall at a local church in Phoenix, and we'd fill it up every year. We'd get between 500 and 700 people show up for that event. And then COVID happened and Zoom happened, and now we can do them live online. And I found that I get a lot more reach. I used to do fruit tree classes at a local restaurant or coffee houses, and I'd get 3 to 5 people, maybe 10 people at a class. Now I do our weekly Zoom classes, which I'm going to talk about here in a minute, and we'll get 50, 70, 100 people. So the reach is bigger that way as well. So we do this big launch event. This is the kickoff of the season. And then usually we do a first Saturday of November fruit tree orchard tour. So it kind of bookends our early bird season that way. And then our live Zoom classes. And we've got topic-specific classes like 3 ways to grow your fruit trees, planting, watering, and fertilizing, what supplies do I need? And so we give one of these a week for the 8 weeks. In September and October. Again, they're free and people can come and listen and take away. I always like to try catchy titles like 3 ways to kill your fruit trees. Reason I use that one is because I can't tell you how many people take a tree, plant it in dirt on a mound with one drip emitter in the desert. It happens. Still. So I show pictures of people for what people not to do, and then I have a whole full list of, hey, this is how you do it right. All right. Now, you've heard me talk about multiple times in the past 18 minutes about my education that I give away for free. Why do I give it away for free? In 2001, I spent a bunch of time writing and creating a 2-day class on gardening in the desert. And I spent all kinds of time marketing it. It was, I don't know, back then I think it was $75 for the class. It was going to be a 2-day class. And I got 2 people to sign up for it. That's it. Time, energy, money. And I got 2 people to sign up. And it's like, all right, well, that's ludicrous. So I started thinking about the abundance of nature and the abundance in permaculture. And I thought, you know what? What if we started doing these things for free? What might that look like? And so I used to do, when I lived in Phoenix, this is the gate going into the backyard at the Urban Farm in Phoenix. When I lived there, I used to do tours of the Urban Farm. And we used to do them for free. And I started doing tours in 2002, and I'd get 5 or 10 people to show up then. By the time we left in 2022, we were getting 200 to 300 people a weekend to see my edible landscape. And the other piece of the free part is I always frame it around the story that I just told about creating all that content and having 2 people sign up. And if you give it away for free and then ask for a donation, it really works. The donations were amazing at our tours and our free classes that we give. And it gets people into the funnel of permaculture and of marketing. So that's a great way. You offer a free class, ask for a donation, you'll be surprised. I have found that the donation model doesn't work as great online, but it works great in person. So that's something to think about. All right. So you got the education. We're really getting people ramped up. And then we bring in our deciduous trees, bare root. What is bare root? There's a picture of one on the right there. It means there's no dirt around the roots. And so the first 2 weeks of January for us is about prepping the nursery for people to come in and get them. So the way they arrive is in bundles of 5, what you're seeing on the left. And what we do is we prune them up and heal them in. And you'll see that's a composted woody mulch that we use to basically temporarily plant them until people come and pick them up at our live nursery. I believe this is the best way to do fruit trees because you're getting them when they're dormant, you're planting them when they're dormant, where they're going to rest, live the rest of their life. If you get them in a 15-gallon pot, when you pull it out of the pot, that soil may or may not fall off of the roots. And if it does, then you go into shock, and there's so on and so on. So I find that bare root is the best way to go. And then there's our pop-up nursery, and this is a nursery. This is a Christmas tree lot, but for fruit trees. So imagine the excitement that happens on our lot when people come looking for their fruit trees that they pre-ordered. And we always order a few extras so that people, when they come to the lot, they can, ooh, you know what? I didn't get an apple tree. I need an apple tree. So those are available. And then the other thing that I mentioned earlier is we supply fertilizers and other supplies for people. The nice thing is that well over half of our income from the program comes from this stuff. So basically, what we're doing is we're giving people all the supplies, all the education to be able to successfully grow fruit trees, really wherever they live, primarily in the desert, but wherever they live. So our program is all about customer success. We are deeply dedicated, and as I said earlier, I offer people the opportunity to send me an email whenever they want of their picture of their trees. And I don't care what the issue is, send me an email because I can fix it now. But if you're sending me a picture when the tree's dead, there's nothing I can do about it. It's all about having fun and then changing our food landscape. In urban areas, I believe that the place with a capital T that we're going to solve our global food issues is in urban areas where people live. So we need to figure out how to do food forests in urban areas. And what we provide are climate and season appropriate fruit trees. That's really important. One of the big things that I found with fruit trees in the desert, and I remember I planted my first fruit tree in the desert in 1975, was that if it's a soft flesh fruit, so apples, peaches, apricots, plums, grapes, berries, those kinds of things, if they ripen on the tree after about July 1st, they cook on the tree. And your supply of food coming off of that tree declines the later in the season it ripens. So given that, we only have two apple trees that we sell, the Anna and the Dorset Golden, because they ripen in June. Every other apple tree ripens in the fall and therefore has to go through the entire summer, and they just don't like that. So we provide availability for anybody to ask me questions about fruit trees, and we have a unique guarantee. The big box stores, they'll replace your tree if you kill it. But what I'm trying to do is teach you how to be successful growing that fruit tree so that you don't kill it. So that the way that our program works is we supply the tree and we supply the free education. You have to learn and plant the tree per our guidelines and email me the moment you see something wrong with that tree, so that we can figure it out before it's a big problem. And then if the tree dies, we will split the cost of a fruit tree with you the next year so that we're both taking responsibility for that tree. And it works really well. I don't have any complaints from people on that one. The other thing I do is I do paid virtual consults. I used to do in-person consults, and one-hour consult turns into 4 hours after driving and yada yada like that. And about 15 years ago, I started doing them online with Google Earth and like that. And so this is a really important piece to the puzzle of getting people educated. So we give them the free education. We offer them the ability to email us and ask us questions. And then if they want to buy an hour of my time, then, and I've done hundreds of these over the past few years of people that are just curious about permaculture and gardening in their yard. And anybody that's interested that's listening today, if you want to know more about how I do this, shoot me an email, greg@urbanfarm.org. All right. This is the usually just about the last slide for me when I'm teaching my classes. And I thought I'd throw it in here so that y'all could see the different resources that we have. The first one is our Root Camp Master Course on growing fruit trees. You can find it at urbanfarm.org/rootcamp. Remember, it's free. And then our store, you can find it at store.urbanfarm.org. That's where people can go to buy fruit trees. Right now, there are no fruit trees in there because our season is over as of the end of January. So we'll be restocking the fruit trees and having it available for people to start ordering on June 1st. And then to learn all about our fruit tree program, you can go to fruittrees.org. That was a score that I got that URL. I got that a few years ago. All right. And really, this is our ultimate goal. The bottom picture is the counter at the Urban Farm, the place that I used to live in Phoenix, Arizona. I lived at that house for 32 years. And these are mid-pride peaches and Anna apples. And one of the things I discovered, and this goes back to my permaculture training as well, the only place that abundance, the only place, also, let me say this right, the only place that lack lives is between our ears. Because when I look at the massive, massive amount of abundance that comes off of fruit trees and out of nature, it's just mind-blowing to me. And so a few years ago, I get this email from somebody with the top left picture attached, and they said, "Oh my gosh, Greg, we bought a peach tree from you 3 years ago, and look what we just harvested." And that's the reason I do what I do. I think that's it. That's it.
Oh man, thanks, Greg. Awesome
Yeah,
stuff.
you bet.
Awesome stuff. We've got questions, of course, but why don't you take a small break and I'll do a little Pina commercial here.
All right, good. Thank you.
I'm going to share my screen, see if this works. Well, thanks everybody for being here. If you got questions for Greg, put them in the chat. All caps is useful, but probably not necessary because there's not that much going on in the chat. There's a couple things coming up that we're going to just like mention so people are aware of them. Number one, I'm not going to get to number no, let's do number two actually first. We'll talk about number one later. Peter and others in Pina have been talking about the idea of a million tree challenge within Pina for a while, and we're actively seeking funding for such a thing as like how can we get friends and allies and hubs throughout the continent of North America to plant a million trees? And of course, this is a permaculture planting, so it's not just like random trees separate from ecological function. It's like niches and guilds that make sense for the local areas, and we're trying to get this sort of like distributed like party. Like, how can we all on one weekend plant a bunch of ecosystems all over the place and ultimately add up to a million trees? So that's the goal. If you're interested in that, we're just kicking around this initiative. Basically, what we're looking for is partner nurseries and then just people who might want to self-organize the million tree challenge, like in your area. So you'd have to somehow find some land where it could be planted on, organize a, a perma blitz essentially to get people, and we'll help you with getting the trees, if all works out well. So this is very much in its infancy stage, but we wanted to announce it and see if people are interested. You can email me at programs@pina.in if you're interested, or you can say something in the PCX as we're throughout in the nursery space, and we'll connect later. So that's all for now. Thank you very much. Let's go back to questions for Greg. Stop sharing. So for one, there has been several questions, Greg, about just the links to your masterclass and the weekly event. Do you have those on hand, or we can put them in the PCX later if not?
I can urbanfarm.org/rootcamp, rootcamp. I was just pulling that up.
I'll put it in.
All right, yeah, urbanfarm.org/rootcamp. The classes that we offer on a monthly basis, you can find them listed at urbanfarmevents.com.
Okay.
That takes you directly to our events page, and so that'll give you the monthly tree chat link. And then we don't have any of the main classes scheduled because we don't schedule them until September, October. However, they are all pre-recorded and live inside of Root Camp.
Yes.
That Root Camp, that is over 70 lessons on growing fruit trees. And it's stuff from Tom Spellman at Dave Wilson Nursery. There's our pre-recorded classes. The speakers that we always have come in and talk at our launch event that we do, those classes are listed in there as well. So it's a huge resource that a few people are a little bit verklempt as to why I give it away for free. But I think that it's more important to get people educated on how to grow food. So there we go.
Well, and I think it's like you kind of use this seduction marketing or like enticement marketing model. You're not like just hammering people to come buy things. You're trying to bring them in by enticing them about this. You could do this too. You could have a Garden of Eden too. You know, like, yeah, your other trees maybe failed, but you can succeed and I will help you. I'll answer all these questions. So you're really taking that model education first, which I think is something we could all steal.
That's in every part of our business.
Yes.
Our Great American Seed Up, it's education first, and the fruit tree program, it's education first, and the podcast.
Yep.
Well, the podcast is a passion project for me. I don't make any money on that, but it's all about education.
Well, and speaking of that, Greg, the question I've been asking everybody is, do you have a book or two that you would recommend for people getting started in like permaculture nursery? If they're just starting their bookshelf, what book would you say, hey, this is a good start, or a couple books?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Okay.
I kind of made this one up on my own and stumbled into it, and so yeah, I
Well, I'd
don't.
just say the resource you created is a great place to start because, like you say,
There you go.
it already has 70 hours or whatever of materials. Do you ever, question from Jessica, do you ever graft your own trees at all to reduce costs?
We do not.
Okay.
You could do that, absolutely. And this particular model is about buying trees wholesale and reselling them. Because primarily we're education based. So we spend our energies on educating people and then source the best products, best trees, best fertilizers, as local as we can get them. Both our fertilizer and mulch soil providers are local to the desert Southwest.
Perfect.
So.
Yep. And which is a huge resource in and of itself because you're doing the sourcing work. You're making sure you have good connections. What about another question from Beth? What is your experience with dwarf trees?
So there is something called backyard orchard culture. There is a document in Root Camp, or you can email me for it at greg@urbanfarm.org. It's called backyard orchard culture. Backyard orchard culture, or orchard culture in the city, is significantly different than orchard culture out in the country. Orchard culture out in the country, you want your trees to get big, you need heavy equipment, lifts, that kind of stuff to get it harvested. And one fruit tree can have a 18 foot by 18 foot footprint in the space. And a peach tree that size is going to give you hundreds and hundreds of pounds of peaches. And as a homeowner, do you need hundreds and hundreds of pounds of peaches in a 2 week period?
Right.
So, what we encourage people to do is keep their trees small. The question was about dwarf. Unfortunately, there's only one dwarf fruit tree that will actually thrive in the desert, so we only bring in that one. The rest of the time, we encourage people to download that backyard orchard culture document and learn how to keep your trees small. I had a perfectly pruned peach in the front yard of the urban farm, and I had it pruned from a very early age into a bush, not a tree. And in the summertime, it would get to about 12 feet tall, which makes it super easy to harvest from mostly standing on the ground. You need a little step ladder in some cases, but so we encourage people to keep your fruit trees small by pruning them to keep them small. Plus, here's the other thing. There's in fruit culture, actually in gardening, there's this notion of successive ripening. And the nice thing is that if you're keeping your trees small, you can put three or four fruit trees in the same footprint as one large peach tree or one large fruit tree. And in our case in Phoenix, the desert gold peach ripens mid-May. The tropic snow peach is a white flesh peach. It ripens the first week of June. And the mid-pride peach ripens the end of June. So all of a sudden, in that same space of one large fruit tree, we've got three that ripen over the course of almost 2 months
Yeah.
rather than 3 weeks.
Sounds good to me. Makes a
Yeah.
lot of sense. How do you get your initial stock to start with the appropriate cultivars? Chris is asking.
Dave Wilson Nursery,
Okay.
they're out of Northern California. Remember, I'm in Phoenix, Arizona for this program. I am not doing this kind of a program here. I'm retiring from that and slowing down. I know that there are other bare root nursery suppliers because the two bare root programs that I'm helping a little bit with here, I volunteer for here in Asheville, North Carolina, they're getting fruit trees from places other than Dave Wilson.
Yes.
So, one of the things that I've noticed about the trees that I get from Dave Wilson is the trunk on them is 3/4 of an inch to 1 1/4 inch diameter, and the trees are 3 to 4 feet tall. These are good, solid trees. One of the things that I've noticed about the supplies of fruit trees here in Asheville, North Carolina, is that they're whips.
Yep.
Usually they come in as a 1/4 inch tree, 18 inches to 2 feet tall. So I haven't figured out that one yet. I much prefer the bigger trees.
Well, and you're selling out of your whole stock by the end of your program, right?
Exactly.
You're not in the business of getting whips and growing them for 2 years or something until they get sized up.
Exactly.
Okay, perfect. Kelda asks, what do you think are ideal understories for different fruit trees? I feel like installing guilds can sometimes be cause too much root disturbance.
Yeah. So what I do in Phoenix, I've only been here in Asheville for just a little under 3 years, so I'm still learning a lot. What I do in Phoenix for understories is I plant cowpeas. Cowpeas are a desert-loving, nitrogen-fixing bean that once you get established, one cowpea plant can cover a 10 by 10 area. It's amazing how fast they grow, and they love the heat. One of the things I teach in my classes is that the first layer of shade for your tree isn't covering the tree, it's covering the ground underneath the tree with something. So the cowpeas work really great. The other thing that we grow is sweet potatoes. And sweet potatoes, again, grow great in the desert. And both the cowpeas and the sweet potatoes love the desert heat. So that drops the ground temperature up to 50 degrees in the summertime,
Yeah.
which is huge. I have not seen, in doing this really for the past 30 plus years, I have not seen any root damage, root negative impact on fruit trees of growing under the, on the ground underneath. The one caveat for both the sweet potatoes and cowpeas is that they have a tendency to climb up into the tree. So, as part of your task is you just pull them out and make sure they don't climb up into the tree because they could in theory choke out the tree.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. Do you have a location for cowpea seeds in bulk that you go to buy?
We not really.
Okay.
We actually have customers that bring us back seeds every year
Oh, that's cool.
in bulk, and then we give them away at our nursery when we're open.
Yep.
So I used to grow them and I'd grow out 5 or 10 pounds a year. And now we've got some of our customers and some of our team members actually growing the cowpeas for us.
Cool. I like that. Do you harvest the sweet potatoes?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. How could you not?
And somebody mentioned close to damaging the roots. I don't harvest the sweet potatoes within about 3 feet of the trunk of the tree. Anything pa out past that, if you dig up a root on the tree, it's something called, are you ready for this? Root pruning, and it's not a bad thing. If if you hit a part of the root system, it's not a bad thing to prune them a little back a little bit, especially since we're keeping the trees themselves small.
I like that. That's a great point. Macaque says if you're in the high desert southwest, we can help with guild species just for people. There's a link there, foodforestmovement.org.
Nice.
Comfrey is number one, hairy vetch,
Yep.
yarrow, iris, lovage, walking onions, chives. Yeah, all those sound good. Hairy vetch can get a little long and take over a little area, but probably not if you have all those other things planted in the guild. Well, Greg, where can people go to stay connected? Where can people go if they want to be featured on your podcast? Where can people go to consult with you?
Okay, cool. I think the easiest answer to all that is greg@urbanfarm.org.
Okay.
Just send me an email. There's urbanfarm.org/rootcamp. There's, just send me an email and let's chat because I'm always looking for, in fact, we're getting our next round of podcasts in the loop. And we'll be recording, I think, toward the end of March. And I need about a half a dozen people with cool stories. The Urban Farm Podcast is a storytelling podcast. It's about sharing people's epic stories of how they've created what they've created to inspire those of us that are inspirable.
Yes. And nowhere is that more prominent than in the permaculture world, where we both get inspired continually, and then hopefully
And
most of the people I know do inspiring stuff on our lands and
yeah,
in our communities.
exactly.
Greg, do you mind sharing the cost for your consulting, or is that more you'd rather talk about that through email?
No, that's fine. My 1 hour consults are 120. Like I said, I do hundreds of them. I've done hundreds of them over the past 4 or 5 years, and I have always promised a money back guarantee on them. If you're not 100% happy, I'll give you your money back. Guess what? I've never given anybody their money back because I work that hard at it. So,
As someone who's done consulting myself, do you try to get everything done in that hour, or do you then spend follow-up like here's some links and here's further resources like afterwards, or do you just boom, it's all done in that hour?
well, the people that I'm ta it's all done in that hour, and the people that I'm talking to are usually new gardeners. They have a landscape that they want to put fruit trees and things like that in. And we we can wrap it up in an hour. I'll promise them a few resources and send them, some of my resources on that. But it's that particular consult is designed to really get people jump-started in their landscape from beginners. Most of these people are beginners, and yeah, like that. So if somebody wanted a consult on the fruit tree, doing a fruit tree program, that's a different story, and we'd handle that differently.
Yep, that's great. Thank you so much for all this wisdom and insight, Greg. And as we
You
talked
bet.
about to start with, like what you're doing here is very replicable for other people in other locales. So if,
Yes.
especially like you say, in Asheville, there already is these type of programs, so you're not going to do that. You're doing something else, elderberries,
Yeah.
if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, 100 of them in the ground as I'm coming up on harvest season on 100 elderberry plants this fall, this spring. So,
Yeah, well, there's a story in there that we'll get to hear at some other point. But for folks listening, consider doing a program like this in your area if there's not such a thing. I love the model. I love that it's not like every day, all day we're open. It's like we're open for 20
yes.
days out of the year. And then we provide education, which leads to consulting and could lead to like full-scale designs and that sort of thing. So this has been fantastic. Greg, thank you so much for your attention and your focus
Yeah,
and your wisdom. It's
absolutely. John wants to know my email address, greg@urbanfarm.org. Or if you just go to, you can find me also at fruittrees.org and urbanfarm.org.
Perfect. And just so folks know, the next presentation is Michalina Hunter. She's awesome. That's at 12 noon Eastern time. We pre-recorded that though, so that won't be like this. We won't be in the Zoom together. The link is in the PCX, and you can watch that as it premieres right at noon. And if you have questions for her, she said she'd be around, but she can't be today. So you can leave them in the PCX and she'll check it later. And then the next time we'll all be on a Zoom together is going to be at 1 p.m. Eastern time for Peter Jans, who has my favorite nursery name, which is Tree Eater Nursery, which I just think is a cool name.
Nice.
But in the meantime, thanks everybody. We'll see you on the PCX. And thanks again, Greg. Appreciate you.
You bet.
See ya.